just keep worshiping Him this morning. There's such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. This is what it's all about right here. This is why we come. This is why we serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the presence of Jesus. There's power. There's power in the cross. Praise God, praise God. We've been in a series for a few weeks now on the power of the Word. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharp, powerful, like a two-edged sword. You can be seated for a moment. But what gives the Word power? What gives the Word the authority that it has? Now, you could give a number of correct answers for that question, and one could make a compelling case that it's God Himself that gives the Word the power. And yes, that would be correct. We could read in Matthew chapter 28, 18, when Jesus Christ stood and He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Where Jesus, after His resurrection, He declares His authority over all creation, both physical and spiritual. All power in heaven and earth, under the earth, I control everything. It's mine. And that would be correct as well, for we know and hopefully understand here today that God and Jesus Christ are in one. Jesus stated in John chapter 14, verses 6 through 11, He was having a discussion with His disciples, and primarily Philip in this discussion, and Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, you have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Show us who the Father is. And Jesus responds to Philip, and He says, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you hast not known me, Philip?" Question mark. That's a question that Jesus was responding, giving back to Philip. And then Jesus goes on and said, "He hath seen me, hath seen the Father." And now, how sayest thou then, "Show us the Father"? You're looking at Him, Philip. I'm standing right here in front of you. "Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me?" Question mark. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." So yes, Jesus gives the Word power. But there was one more out there in which I desire to focus on this Easter Sunday morning, and that is the spiritual phenomena of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and its ability to draw all men to Himself, but not just draw all men to Himself, but to keep them there. Because when it comes to Christianity, we need to understand that it's not necessarily the church. The church is important. It's not necessarily our good lives. Our good lives are important that draws people to Jesus. But these things point the way, but they in themselves do not have the drawing power. What draws people to Christ is his cross. What draws people to Christ is his sacrifice. What draws people to Christ is the blood that was shed on that cross that day. What draws people to Christ, the cross has power. The church proclaims it. Our good lives confirm it, and the Bible records it. And in the end, people come to Jesus Christ because of the cross of Christ. It's this magnetic pull within Christianity that has the power to pull people towards God. When we look at the power of the cross, the power of the cross has the ability to set men free. Whether you admit it or not, people carry in their hearts, we all carry an incredible load, perhaps, of anxiety and fear because of guilt. This is quite normal because all of humanity is guilty of sin. The universal belief of sin, it's a core biblical doctrine. Paul expounds in his writings to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 12 and verse 23 says, "What then, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. For there is not even one." And he sums it up with this statement, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I'm looking here today over this Easter crowd that we have here as we talk about the power of the cross. Understand and realize that we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. We're all sinners saved by the power of the cross. We're all guilty of this. This problem has moved people to seek relief from all kinds of mental, emotional, and physical ravages caused by the effects of sin. Social reform, new philosophies, escape through drugs, alcohol, people even deny. I've heard so many people say, "But I'm a good person. I'm a good person. You don't understand. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink and I don't smoke and I've never done any bad things in my life, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We deny sometimes through our own self-righteousness, but we have to understand, for we have all sinned and we've all fallen short. None of these so-called solutions can do what the cross does. The cross removes the guilt, which is sin. These other things deal with the symptoms of sin, but the cross effectively eliminates the root cause, and that is sin itself. When we look in the Old Testament, when a priest would offer up an animal as sacrifice for someone's sins, he would first lay hands upon the animal as a symbol that a transfer was taking place. We can read this in Leviticus chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. The sins of an individual were being transformed into that animal, and the animal was being slain in order to symbolize that payment for the moral price of sin, which is death. And that payment was paid. We can read about that in Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17, with the sin symbolically transferred to the animal, and the animal then sacrificed. It was sacrificed because death was the way that something was transferred from the physical realm into the spiritual realm. The person was thus cleansed from the burden of guilt caused by sin. Of course, we know today that this was a preview of what was to come. Jesus, the perfect and innocent Lamb, taken on the sins of all man, not symbolically, but literally. When Jesus Christ was was crucified on that cross, the sins of humanity was transferred. I don't know how, I don't know why, but it was transferred, not symbolically, but literally, so that you and I today, and then offering up his sinless and eternal being in a sacrifice on the cross in order to make moral payment for all sin, for all humanity, for all time. I am so thankful for the cross. I say an innocent and perfect life because the sacrifice had to be without sin. It had to be spotless. There could be no blemishes in order to atone for sin. It had to be perfect. His divine nature makes his sacrifice good enough and valuable enough to exchange not only one person, but for all humanity. When people hear how Jesus died in order to pay for their moral debt, they are attracted because they have found that the only way dealing with their guilt that removes it forever, and that is forgiveness. When I look at the power of the cross, I look at the power of forgiveness. While Jesus hung on that cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The most compelling words to a sinner in the New Testament are those of Peter. When Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he commands when the crowd that day, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart. They realized they had just crucified their Messiah. And Peter stood up that day and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. In what name are you to be baptized in? The name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins." Can you just imagine what it would be like today having to go through life never being able to shed yourself from your sin? But the power of the cross made a way through forgiveness. Paul makes this statement in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Sins are transferred to the cross. Forgiveness comes from the cross, and guilty sinners are drawn by the cross. The cross has the power to create in a person the love and the desire for what is good, what is right, what is true, and what is pure. The cross has the power to create in me a desire for righteousness. Even though a person cannot achieve perfection on this earth, the cross of Christ gives us a thirst for it. No law can produce this in one's heart. No threats of punishment can make me want what is right and good. We can do it out of fear, but you can't force me to want to obey. I can't force you today to live for Jesus. It's a choice that you have to make. No amount of self-discipline or willpower can make a person love righteousness. However, the cross of Jesus Christ has attraction that pulls me towards righteousness. What is right, what is pure, and what is holy? The cross of Christ has attraction because it has the power to create a desire in a human heart. You may ask, how can this be? How can this happen when I contemplate Jesus' sacrifice for me? I see for the first time the essence of God's deepest goodness and his purest judgment. You see, he didn't have to do what he did. He didn't have to reconcile humanity as he did, but he did it out of goodness and out of justice and out of love. I see by the cross that we worship a God who took upon himself a human nature. If you can imagine that for just a minute, a God in all of his glory and all of his power and all of his might, all of his authority, would take and put on the weak rags of humanity to come to this earth and to live among his creation, in order to suffer the punishment for the sins that I committed, for the sins that you committed, for the sins that we as humanity committed, and for which we truly deserve punishment for those sins. In other words, God transferred my sin, our sin, unto himself. This knowledge awakens me in the desire to have and to do what he did. When we listen to Paul as he explains this in Romans chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, for while we were in the flesh, he explains what that flesh is, the sinful passions that we have, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You see, in the same way that I crave, that we crave, humanity craves after evil and the pleasures of sin, after the cross I hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now that I've been able to see what perfect righteousness can do. Because of the law, the sin in me was aroused, but because of the cross, the Spirit in me is aroused. Moreover, the cross makes me want to abandon whatever my weak attempts at goodness and self-justification through works and desire to be good and righteous, for he is good and righteous, a goodness and righteousness that totally eclipses anything that I have or will ever have. There are so many things in the world that will change a person's appearance, that will change even his state of mind, but only the cross of Jesus Christ has the power to change a person's heart. Before the cross, I desired only what served me. But after the cross, my desire is to do God's will and to serve him. You see, the cross has the power to convince me that I am loved. When I look at the cross, a lot of people see a lot of things. You can look at it and you can just see the wood and you can see the timber, or you can see the nails. But when I look at the cross, as I said on Friday night in our communion service, our Good Friday service, it has been said that it wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross, but it was love that held him to the cross. One of the most common issues found in diverse problems today that our society is dealing with is depression. And depression leads to alcohol and to drug abuse and to suicide. And we see marriages breaking down, a problem of low self-esteem. Sometimes we just don't like ourselves very much. I see social media post after social media post of people struggling just to find out who they are and what they are. They don't know. They're confused. Our society is in a quandary. We're lost. We're struggling. We don't like ourselves. We worry about our value as human beings, and we have trouble liking other people because we have a poor value system. We have a poor estimate of ourselves. Sometimes it begins in our childhood. And when we look at our childhood, maybe we grew up and we were a failure in school and we had trouble with our parents, and whether these messages and are accurate or not, but the problem is that we think they're true and we begin to store them away in our subconscious minds, and we grow into adulthood and we try to improve, and there's an inner voice that keeps telling us that we're not worth it. You're a loser. You're not worthy. You're no good. You're never going to be good enough. Maybe you have a parent that's always told you your whole life, you're never, why can't you be like your brother or sister? Children grow up believing they're not okay, and as a result, we have a society that's become angry and depressed and frightened, and insecure adults who often end up passing these traits onto their children, and we have generational curses within families, thus creating a vicious cycle that can affect families for generations. But I'm here to tell you today that if you are in one of these families and you are fighting one of these generational curses, the cross of Jesus Christ has the power and the ability to break the cycle, because it loudly, clearly states and screams out, I love you. I love you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've came from, no matter what you're going through, the cross says, I care. Nobody else may care, but the cross says, I care. We read one of the most powerful, it's often quoted so many times it becomes, we just take it for granted, but it's such a powerful verse of scripture, and yet sometimes we struggle just believing it for ourselves when we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can read in Romans, Paul again writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, God died for the ungodly. God died for the unworthy. God died for all of humanity because we were helpless and we were all unworthy. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the power of the cross convinces me today that I am loved, and because of it, I can see that God loves me. Even at times when I have ignored. Have you ever ignored God? Let's all be honest. Even at times, perhaps, when you despised God. There are times in my life, I hate to admit, where I would just say, God, just leave me alone. Have you ever told God that? You're so frustrated with your own life and you don't want to go through the changes that it requires. And he's like, God, just leave me alone. Please, God. But you see, all while at times I ridiculed the church and ridiculed the worship and ridiculed the precious saints of God, even despising perhaps God himself, all while I was in my state, he was planning my salvation. He had not given up on me. He had died. He was not guilty, but he died. My God, my Father, my Savior gave up his life for me. I tell the church all the time that we need to personalize the Word of God, because he wrote it to each and every one of us personally. God died for me. I know he died for you, Brother Repka, but he died for me. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I tried at times in life. We try to be important and loved by people. Sometimes those people just end up manipulating us and using money and competing with others. And when I look now, my importance is not based upon what I thought I was or thought I could be, but my importance is based upon loving people. My importance is based upon the fact that God has chosen me and he sacrificed himself for me. When I didn't deserve it, when I was not worthy, I can honestly say that the power of the cross has the power to completely change a life. And the reason I can say that is because the power of the cross completely changed my life. You look at me today as pastor, and you may say, I really like you, Pastor. You might not have liked me some 15, 20 years ago, or actually it's been more than that now. Maybe not that either, but you may not have liked me when I was in my younger years. But you see, this is my witness, not just my sermon, not just what I'm saying today. And as you stand to your feet, as our musicians come, but I want to ask you today, my challenge to you today is, have you experienced the power of the cross? This power of the cross has the ability to release you from any guilt that you have in your life. I struggled for so many years feeling guilty. Mostly because I was. But in order for the cross to begin to have any power at all, we have to understand that Jesus had to die on it first. He had to die on it. His blood had to be shed on it, and he had to then be resurrected from it. You see, there would be no power in the cross if there was no blood shed and there was no resurrection. But you see, what gives the cross the power, what gives the cross the authority, is the death and the burial and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the same way, the cross today has the power in our lives. And for the cross to have the power in our lives, we must also die to our sin. That's something that we as humanity, we don't like to do. What's wrong with me, Pastor? We've all sinned. That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with me. You see, the cross, for the cross to have power in our lives, we have to die and we have to resurrect from it. Now, Jesus actually did this on a wooden cross some 2,000 plus years ago. Our death and our resurrection are carried out in the waters of baptism as we confess our faith in Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. Paul writes and he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized unto Christ Jesus have been baptized unto his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we might too walk in the newness of life. Maybe you're here today. I don't know everyone's story. I don't know everyone's situation, but I know a God that does. I want to ask you, a few questions. What do you see when you come to the cross? What do you see as you came in this morning out in the front of our church, out in the right outside the main doors? There was a cross put up on display. It looked very beautiful, actually. I drove by yesterday, and I drove up Friday, and I saw it, and the wind was gently blowing, and it looked so beautiful. It's beautiful now, but it wasn't beautiful then. What do you see when you come to the cross? And what do you get? What do you get when you come to the cross? You see, when you come to the cross, understand, we all came to the cross as sinners. But you see, when you leave the cross, you can leave the cross as a saint of God. That's the power of the cross. I can come as a sinner, but I can leave as a saint of the Most High God. You can come to the cross under condemnation today, but you can leave with righteousness. You see, the cross has the ability to do like nothing else can do. It has the ability to change the heart of a human being. I don't know how it all works and how it all happens, but I just know that something changed in me when I realized the power of the cross. Maybe you're here today and you're sick in your body. You're struggling with illness. You can come to the cross sick, and you can leave healed, because my word tells me that it was through the stripes that he took on his back and the process of Calvary that those stripes were for the healing of the nations. You see, you can come to the cross this morning with worry, but you can leave with hope. Maybe you're in a situation today that's just hopeless. You're like, Pastor, I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this. This depression, this frustration. I can't beat it. I can't get over it. But you can come today with worry and leave with hope. You can come with fear. The cross is one of the only place I know that you could come with fear, but you could leave with a strong, powerful faith. You could come to the cross today with sadness, but you could leave with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can come to the cross today poor, but you can leave rich. I don't mean that you come to this altar and you bow and you begin to pray and you repent, and maybe you've never spoken in tongues and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and in the process of filling you with the Holy Ghost, your credit cards are being paid off and you're wallets being filled with cash. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, that would be a nice added benefit. You can come poor. Poor in spirit. You can come poor, but you can leave so, so very rich. Maybe you're living under a generational curse today. Maybe your father was an alcoholic. Your brothers or your sisters, you struggle with that. I don't know what that may be today, but you can come to the cross under a curse, but you can leave with a breakthrough and blessed today. I love that old song. I love our new songs. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I love the old song. This goes like this. At the cross, where I first saw the light. You remember that day? And the burdens of your heart. All of the heaviness, all of the frustrations, all of the brokenness and the burdens of my heart rolled away. For it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. So as our worship team prepares to lead us into a short season of worship, I want to invite you on this Easter Sunday. Maybe you've never experienced the true power of the cross. I want to just invite you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As our worship team sings, I just want to open up this front area, our altar area, and invite you today and say, Pastor, I'm broken. I'm hurting. Lord, I want to receive deliverance today. I want to receive forgiveness today. I want to come down poor, Lord, but I want to leave rich. God bless you this morning. We come and worship the Lord.